Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale, tinakalapo kondwela. Lelo heka, tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kubutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomu wake. Ni mafuto vale ni mafuto. Nako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumu follow hamama inei nizi wanda zota nizi taeza talema na yuma pempelo atika pena siku lina azati kumbukila oye chifu kwa lelo bantu bonse basoweza ulemu atate imwe
and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio, October 27th, 2018. Time is really running fast and the year is going. It's 15:02 in Zambia, 2:02 p.m. British time, 9:02 p.m. Western Australia, and 8:02 in Dallas, Texas, in Central Standard Time, like we say in this part of the world. Good morning, America, and welcome to the show. Happy 54th Independence, Zambia. Others are still celebrating. In Dallas, we had an event last Saturday, and it was beautiful. We had some good Zambian delicacies, and we enjoyed our time just reflecting on the goodness of the Lord for giving us a great nation. I don't care about the politics and everything. My country is a great country. Welcome to the show, everybody. Today we have a great patriotic Zambian, great lady. She's a Washington Mandela Fellow and BA in Politics and Science, fashion designer, mentor to the youth. We're going to talk about a lot of things, and we're glad that today we managed to get through. 2 weeks ago, I believe we had challenges with the phone, just like we had with a former president last weekend. Let's all welcome Chola Lungu Mutoni joining us from Lusaka. Hi, Chola.
Hi, good morning or good afternoon.
How are you doing? How did you celebrate the 54th?
Oh, wow. I was alone actually working Independence Day, but... I was going to become vegetarian, so I gave myself a day.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
we'll let
nice
you off.
So that's good.
Okay, we'll let you off on that for this time. Like I said, everybody, Chola is a Mandela Washington Fellow. She's a fashion designer. She does a lot of things, and... somebody was telling me that, was asking me, Chola, and said, oh, wow, when they read your profile, they were like, oh, wow, this lady does so much stuff, and, you know, how does she get around? Chola, let's begin. I want us to begin with a Mandela Washington Fellow. How was that experience, and what exactly goes on with that program?
Okay, so with the program, you have to go to an American university for 6 weeks, and it's really back into school, lectures, but you also do some volunteer work, you also have meetings with people in your field. So I went into business entrepreneurship. There are also two other streams that you can go in. So it's really back to school and the coaching program that really works on you also as an individual, because it's a huge personal development program that also happens. The experience for me was really good because there's so many things that I'd wanted to do before the program, but it actually makes you believe in yourself more, and it also makes you make a bit more daring and not afraid to fail, because there's so many things I've tried to do that I came back. It's just a good experience overall, I think.
Excellent. It's interesting to learn that, it made you believe in yourself more, and there are some things that you tried to do before which you failed. And that's interesting. I'm glad to hear that. Let's get back to something else here. All your academic credentials, Chola, lean towards politics. I mean, political qualifications, if I may say that. How and when did the shift to a fashion designer entrepreneur happen? How did this happen?
It's while I was still studying politics that my mother sent me to a finishing school, which is like a modeling school when we lived in Namibia. And I think I was a bit of a tomboy, which she didn't like. So she sent me to finishing school for about 18 months, where they teach you how to eat, how to do your hair, nails, etiquette, communication skills, and eventually they teach you how to be a model. So you graduate as a runway model. And that's where the interest came in. But when we then moved to South Africa to Rhodes University, I started training young girls in what I had learned. And it's only when I moved back to Zambia when I started getting interested in fashion, because when you're a model, I only worked as a model in Namibia. When you're a model, you work backstage and they just let you wear. You don't really have a say about what you wear. But when I came here, I got interested and I got into Zambia fashion and was actually there to start designing. So that's where it came in. So it's been coming and going at different points in my life.
Okay. What was the response towards your decision to start doing modeling? I know your family, I mean, everybody, if we mention your mom's family, everybody will identify the name. So how did they respond to you becoming a model, considering the strong value system in your family?
Well, my mother paid for it, but she never came to any of my shows. She dropped me off and picked me up. My grandma passed last year. My grandma who passed last year, she was in Namibia at some point, and I had some big shows happening, designers that are coming from South Africa. And she was just very concerned about how little or how much I was wearing on the catwalk. It's been mixed. I can't say anybody stop me, like, don't do it, because I think they saw how happy it made me and how excited I was about it. But yeah, it's very mixed. I'll be very honest and say it was just.
I can tell from your laughter that there were some challenges along the way.
Well, because I eventually stopped. I left my agency because of a show that they wanted me to do, and it was a lot of money. In fact, there's two incidences that happened that made me come out of being a professional model. One is I was asked to be on a condom cover, and it was a lot of money. And I went to my mom, and she was a diplomat again, and I said, there's so much money I'm going to make. And look at this. And she said, okay. So in 10 to 15 years' time, when you have children, what do your children say? I said, I was a messenger trying to encourage youth and whatever, but the look she gave me, I did take that job. So I let that one go.
Okay.
The second one, how I left it, is they wanted me to do a swimwear, a show, and then a lingerie one at lunchtime in a mall. Then I thought of my grandmother and what she had said, how little I should wear on the runway, and that the photos that I've taken can be shared years later. And I said no, and that's how I was actually the agency.
Okay. I'm sure everybody has got the message on that one. Like the book, the good book says, let him who has ears hear what the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We shall leave it at that. Interesting. Your fashion line is called Poleka. That's a Bemba word. What inspired the name and the brand? What is Poleka? Let Dr. Patrick here understand what Poleka means.
Well, Poleka, direct translation means explode. My mom really liked to dress up. My mom was always very fashion conscious, very stylish. And every time someone looked good or she looked good, she would say, you Poleka or not Poleka. So it stuck in my head since I was a child that looking really good is Poleka. So that's how the name came about. Yes.
Interesting. That's very interesting. So what fashion design in Zambia is something that is not a plain sailing industry in a culture flooded with Western norms. You know, we generally speaking, you know, Chola, we admire Western types of doing things. So what distinguishes your brand?
I think for me, I try and mix a lot of fabric from different places, and I use my design to communicate messages and also preserve art. There's a time I 3 years back, I used crochet, which all of our grandmothers used to do. Unfortunately, I never learned the art with a skill, and I combine that with different fabric. I also look at there's some young men painting on canvas. So I put that on, and I combined it with another fabric. This year I worked with tie and dye, which is also a dyeing skill here. So I think my brand remained relevant and also unique in that I like to combine fabrics. I've also used fabric from outside. I've used fabric from Ghana and a little from Lesotho. So I do not just use what's available here, but I try and combine it with other fabrics from outside.
Okay. You've already given an idea to my next question, which is what is your source of your fabric, considering this? You can correct me if this information is wrong. Considering there's no Moka Fuwe textiles and Mulungushi textiles in Zambia, what is your source of your fabrics?
Well, here we have some fabric shops in Kamwala. Those are the options you get sometimes across the border from DRC. There are people coming into Zambia all the time. So the things that I got from Ghana, someone came in, Lesotho, a kind of man was visiting and brought me the fabric. So the fabric does come to our borders from outside, but our main source is here, and they're also importing from outside.
Okay.
Except just to tie and dye, that's actually, they just buy white fabric and they dye it here.
That's good. Does this awakening, Chola, of our traditional local fabrics a sign of our generation embracing our culture?
I think it's a side of it. Our culture is so huge, and I think the fabric is just a piece of who we are. The good thing is that the African print is trendy, so some people are just wearing it because it's trendy. My generation, our mothers wore it a lot. They didn't really make us wear it. Now we appreciate it and making our children wear it. But yes, there is an awareness of who we are. We're appreciating our food more, our clothes, our language more. So you're right. It's actually an awakening.
So the younger generation is into, let's say, the type of collection that Poleka designs and puts up on the market. Is that right? How would you characterize your market?
yes, it's actually tugs across. I just try to wear very comfortable clothes. Very comfortable clothes. And yes, the younger generation, the teenagers, the early 20s, everybody now is just really enjoying. You should see the time of independence. It's a very patriotic time. Everyone's in the flag. And
yes.
It's a very nice time to see everyone either in the flag or some together shirt or outfit. So there is a huge appreciation of that fabric now.
Excellent. You recently traveled, I don't know, you recently traveled to China to work with a tailor on a collection. Tell us more about that trip and what was that about?
Wow, okay. First of all, the trip wasn't even about the fabric. It's just, I decided I'm not going to make any collections this year. But while I was in China, our tour guide wanted to show me Africa Market. And I found fabric there, and I got very inspired, and I said, is there anyone I can work with? So she took me to a family that has worked in suits, in office suits, for a long time. And at first, they didn't really buy into the kitenge. I found a lot of kitenge, and they said they only need a certain kind of material. So eventually, I convinced them. I said, okay, we work on three cuts, the blazer, the jacket with a Chinese collar, and another cut, and then it was a really, really good experience because they don't waste material. For me, when we're making clothes, I think we throw away a lot of pieces, but they really save every little piece. And even the way they cut the fabric, the way they center the pieces, I've never seen that. It was really amazing. And I would be 30 jackets. And I was saying, let's just buy black lining for all of them, but they were very bright colors. And they said, no, each jacket has to be specific. Lining inside, specific color, even the accessories, their finishing is just excellent. It's not necessarily cheaper to do it in China. The finishing is just so much better.
Well, isn't that amazing, Chola, with all the, if I may say, the negativity and all the messages and every type of impression we are trying to get about China, you go there and then you get this experience and you learn some little bitty thing. Isn't that amazing?
It is very amazing. I mean, it's a shame that there's all this negativity because the negativity is louder than the positive stories because there are people with positive stories and maybe they're just being overshadowed by the negativity, which I believe is mostly because of lack of understanding. We have a lack of cultural awareness and appreciation of each other. So people come into Zambia and they realize they can, when they believe, they can just get along with Zambians. But I think people must take time to understand how Zambians do business and how Zambians live. So, like any other place.
Excellent. You are listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're speaking to Chola Lungu Mutoni, fashion designer, business entrepreneur, and she's also a youth mentor. And we are discussing a fashion line called Poleka and a few little things here. Those of you who've called in, if you have a question for Chola, just press 1 so that I know you want to ask her a question. Yama, your line is open here. If you wish to ask Chola, just interrupt me. Fashion Week was last weekend, and events like this have gradually gained ground in Zambia. I mean, there was a whole list of fashion designers when I read the article about that. What do you attribute this trend to, events like this gaining ground in the nation?
I think it's because we're appreciating local designers more, and also the platform to design has also really opened up to design and also for models. It's becoming like the biggest event every year for designers and models. This year we even had designers from Nigeria and from South Africa. It's growing because there's an appreciation and people are supporting local designers and models as well. So the corporate world and even individuals are going to vendor fashion week more.
How is the structure of the event? Is it over a period of days or is it just one day? And are people able to buy some outfits? What goes on? Just give us a picture, a scenario of what happens on that day or days.
So it happened over 3 days, on Saturday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So the first day is mostly the newcomers who are in the fashion show, and most of them have maybe 5 outfits, 5 to 10.
Uh-huh.
And then Friday gets bigger, with some new and old. And then Friday, Saturday, then you have the international guests as well. And then on the Sunday, we have a market where you can go, the design people can now come and buy the things that they sell on the run at the show.
Interesting. I think it's that's interesting that, you know, when somebody looks at the pictures or just reads the articles online, media or whatever you're looking at, it tends to look like it's a one-day event. So part of it is also to develop the upcoming and new people to the market. Okay, let's transition to another aspect of life which you are passionate about, and this is preserving our culture and tradition. Before I do that, let me ask you, these distinguished Zambians here, whether they have got any questions for you. Hi, Priscilla.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you have any question or comments for Chola?
It's an excellent discussion. I'm learning a lot. And I'll probably think of something as we go along in the program.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Bea.
Yeah, the conversation is very enlightening.
Yes.
Morning. Any questions?
Morning, Bella. Okay.
Good morning. Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting, Chola. I was just about to. We are transitioning here to something that you are passionate about. That is.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chola, for joining us this morning, and that's my mother's last name, Chola. So, welcome to.
Yama, just your mouthpiece. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Bachola, for joining us this morning to come and join us at Zambia Broke Talk Radio. I love fashion design, fashion, and I was happy to read on Lusaka Times about the show you guys had. I wish I was in Zambia, and I would have loved to attend. Now, on fabric, you said you are very interested in fabric. Can you go more and explain why are you interested about fabric before I make my comment?
Why I'm interested in fabric or material?
Yes.
Why I'm interested? I don't know, because I need the fabric to make the clothes. Maybe I don't understand the question.
I think I didn't pose the question real good. I'll explain the reason is myself, I'm interested in the materials too, the fabric itself. And are you interested in color or the feel of the fabric and the way the fabric lays on your body, the way it reacts to the... You know, to the environment. What are you interested in the fabric? Like, is it the color or the feel, or it's everything?
Oh, okay. It's a mixture. I think for me, the fabric has to have a story. I don't know if it makes sense, but even with my combination, they always have to be something a bit extra. So I could have a plain kitenge, but I'll add cross-stitching, or I'll add the tie and tie, or I'll do the jeans or the denim. But I'm interested really in how fabrics combine and whether I can tell a story, because it's nice to have a collection of pretty dresses that fit okay, but then I always say there must be something more. I don't know if that, that makes sense, but I would feel, for me, it has to be comfortable. The feel of the fabric is it has to be comfortable and easy to wear, and also across generations. It has to be timeless.
Excellent. And I'm not. I might sound weird, but I'm gonna say it anyway, because for me it has even taken me, like when I visit the hotels, the first thing I do is when I throw my bag, it's to feel the texture of the the beddings, you know. And each hotel has different, it has different, you know, fabrics, and it makes you just feel, you know, it has taken me that far. So that's the reason I posed that question, my
daughter. Okay, interesting.
Yes, it's very interesting, actually, Chola, for that you were to say that. And the question that what I'll try to get out from you here is that how significant is that in the fabric that Poleka puts out there? And I hope I'm saying the right thing. This is a professional industry, and you have to say the right language. What is the significance of the texture?
I think as much as we all want to look good, I think we have to feel comfortable in whatever we're wearing. So for me, I think comfort is the first thing. Yeah, whatever I'm putting on people, they need to feel comfortable and look good at the same time.
Now, you've used that word comfortable several times, Chola. What is comfortable? Explain to us comfortable in your business. Is it the way it fits, or is it the way... What is comfortable in the fashion industry?
It's the texture against your skin, then it should be soft on the skin. It shouldn't be aggressive. So whether you're sitting or standing, you should be able to feel okay in your clothes.
Okay. That makes sense, actually. You are very right on that. Because some of these things we wear, it's not just specialized or unique outfits which Poleka may put out there or any other person, but I think anything you wear should be, like you say, it should be comfortable on your skin and even when you're sitting or standing. Okay. Preserving our culture. How can this be achieved? What is our culture? What is the Zambian culture, if I may ask that foolish question?
Loaded. Well, Zambia has... that's a loaded question, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
Zambia has a mix of cultures, depending on which part of Zambia you come from. Mm-hmm. And our cultures have evolved over time, depending on our levels of exposure and the levels at which we've mixed as Zambians. And with every generation, there's been different cultures that have come up. Even our generation, the technology era is also a different culture that we've adopted. So preserving who we are, for me, is just is important. And the way we preserve it is by documenting. So I believe we should probably write some more books, and because now that the culture now is very audiovisual, you should make a lot more documentaries about whether it's individuals or tribes or events that have happened in our country.
Documenting, so what about, if somebody may respond to this on that point you just made, Chola, and said, so what has happened, what was not documented, if we start documenting now? Can we document everything? There are some things which are, what's the word, which are sacred. When one of your videos I was watching, you talked about why do we observe things like when a woman gives birth, she cannot do certain things. I'll just give you an example. I remember growing up, my mom gave birth to my younger siblings, and she was not allowed to cook. I can't remember what other stuff she couldn't do. So is that in every culture, or what's up with that? How can we document that?
When I've had two children, so being allowed to cook, I think it's just recovery. You need a period for your body to recover, because even if you have a child, they say, you've survived. It's a 50-50 chance of you making it, because childbirth is a traumatic experience to your body. So how you treat a woman after she just had a child, that you actually want her to just rest and regain her energy. And there were beliefs around that, and I think norms and rules around that. But I think they're mostly designed to help the person recover more than anything.
Okay. That's interesting. What are some of the issues of belief system? Let's talk about issues to do with marriage and death. You know something I just discovered over the independence celebration on Saturday night? We were seated at a table and talking about some of these things. Somebody actually who follows the show closely and they know you, they were asking me about how my interview with you went. So I told them we couldn't do it because we had communication challenges. So then they asked me what were some of the things I was going to discuss with you. So they were telling me that, oh, wow, she's not that old, but she's embraced this issue of preserving culture. And I told them, I said she was going to talk about things like how each different culture in Zambia handles childbirth, puberty, marriage, death. And then they told me that the laws is don't cry, if I may use that word, at funerals. I was amazed. Would you like to comment on that?
You don't cry at funerals.
That's what I was taught.
Wow. Okay, I'm also learning here. I didn't know
I was
that.
Amazed,
wow.
Too. Yeah, I was amazed too. So every province, like you have said, every province in Zambia handles these things differently. And let me drag you into this on the issue of childbirth. Okay, what is the significance about the way we handle or treat the umbilical? Is it the umbilical cord? I hope I'm right.
Well, traditionally, I would not know. I would not lie. I don't know much because I gave birth in hospital.
And the
hospital process is very similar. But I have never witnessed a traditional birth, and I don't know how that is handled. Although my mother does use a baby even up to now in Kinshasa, I probably should ask her. Another thing is, in studying our culture, you continuously discover sides of it and pieces of it that you never knew. So you are all completely wild, and that's why I believe we must start documenting it, because our older generation, my grandmother passed last year, and my mother is almost 70.
Yes.
So, you know, the people with the information are going, and we will do things just to continue.
Yeah, right.
I'm not understanding the reason why.
You're very right on that. You know, the important thing you make is that those who have been the custodians of our culture, if you may use that word, are passing and they are going, they are getting old. Roger and I, my colleague, you know Roger and I, we tease each other and we laugh and we say, you know, I was just sitting on the couch and I fell asleep, and we laugh at each other and say, we are getting old, my friend. We are advancing right there in age. We are advancing in age. Let me ask these two gentlemen here. I don't know if they are able to address this issue. Valan, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning, Pastor
Alan. Good morning. Chola, Bahala. Let me tell you Alan's full name so that you understand why I'm going this way. Then I'll go to Titus to address the southern. Alan, now Bemba is also a very white kingdom. I don't know whether you're from Apula or Northern Province. Now there's Muchinga.
From Kinsali.
Okay.
To be specific, Kuichinga. Yeah, Chingirira Kubalwani. So we were the ones who were tasked with protecting Chief Titimukulu. Irwa Kuichinga. Kuitunzwe. I can go on and on.
Avena Leishina.
Alan. Alan, do you know why Chola is laughing? You know why she's laughing, right?
No, why?
No, okay. Let me, Chola, why are you laughing when Alan is explaining where he's come from?
Because my mother is from Italy.
Oh,
so I
okay.
understand what he's saying.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Our mother is from... Amara is from
okay.
Kinsari, and she understands
yes.
what you are saying. So, Alan, how do
yes.
you members from Kinsari handle issues of childbirth? We are talking about preserving the culture here.
Well, I know that umudodo, the belly button, is not supposed to fall when it comes off the child. It's supposed
mm-hmm.
to hit the ground. There's some mystery about that. When you take the baby home, even from the hospital, umutoto is not supposed to hit the ground or something like that, and it actually is associated with the reproductive capabilities of that child. Umutotonga wapona pancho, something like that. I am not 100% sure, but I know it's along those lines. It's been a while, you know. But,
no,
Nathan,
okay.
Just a quick question I would like to ask to our guest, in case I forget, is as far as marriage and the marriage activities that transpire once before you get married, because today it's funny for me that people do amatebeto before the guy has even been married, they are tebetering. And in my understanding, that is totally wrong, because amatebeto was traditionally for the Bembas was done after several years, where they said, now you have proven that you are capable of taking care of our child, you are a good son-in-law, now we can teveta you, because you have now
okay.
proven yourself. So, but these days they do wedding, kitchen party, so the guy has, you haven't even lived one day together.
Okay, Chola, I don't know if you have any comment on that.
Okay, I'll just quickly go to that. So the umbilical cord, now I guess it's usually for us mothers that are delivered in hospital, but they're still traditional, is I think they just try and make it as clean as possible and
make
sure people have access to the baby. And since
uh-huh.
the umbilical cord falls off, because I think it's easy for a child to get an infection. There's a lot of contact around there. Then talking about materetto, which is very interesting, because today in Kinsali, they are territorying my cousin's wife. She's had three children, and the family is very happy with her. So it goes both ways. You can territor, or they can territor. I mean, a man can territor a woman as well.
Uh-huh.
It's happening like that in Kinsali because it's become very commercial, the activities around marriage now. So the maternity, yes, he's very right. It's supposed to have, they're supposed to have a chilanga milila, which is just to show in very basic, a few dishes. Maybe as my grandma used to say, just enough people to sit at a dining table is what's supposed to happen, as opposed to filling up the whole sitting room. And I guess with this time, this culture change and the influence by so many other things, and I don't know how easy it will be to stop that trend because of intermarriages as well. Like I'm Chola Lungu, my father's from Nyampande village in Petauke. I don't know if they even have that. But a lot more people want it, and even the non-members who feel it's now a Zambian culture. So some tribal cultures can actually become national ones, which
yeah.
has become a national, it's our feet now. So, and then it's not even just your family. It's commercial because you actually hire people to come in and do this. So it's a business as well. So it's evolved into so many things. That, and again, I think for me the important thing is if you don't get to meet people and give them the right steps, like this is one, two, three, it will keep evolving and turning into whatever it wants to become at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting response. I also wanted us to go to the southern part of Zambia. Hi, Titus.
Hi, Nathan.
I don't know Titus. Titus, you know Chola. I don't know what you can comment about issues of childbirth from the southern province. Southern province is also very broad. It's not just they are certain groupings within southern province. What are the traditional practices around childbirth?
I wouldn't know too much. I don't want to mislead anybody. It's a fault. We need to research on these things because there's older people. I could ask my mom, but then sometimes they will
I just made the statement here, the title is that the older generation is passing, so we need to preserve that culture. I thought you had some understanding about it, but that's fine. I'm just trying to get the different perspective from different parts of the country.
Sure. I don't want to miss
it. Yeah, because I'll give you an example because I know in Southern Province, Bright Price or Lobola, they demand animals, right?
Yes.
Yes, but you
they
see,
demand
I'm
animals
from,
and
Go ahead.
They demand animals, and mostly, you know, the more educated.
When you say animals, what type of animals are we talking about?
It's cows. It cannot be any other thing. It's cows.
When you say animals, it means a cow.
Sorry. It means a cow. It can never mean a goat. I don't know if you know why it cannot be a goat. Because goats are stubborn. If you bring a goat around the area of South, it's like you're doing something deliberate. It's like bringing a bar at a church or something like that next to a church. There will be issues, you know what I mean? Nothing wrong with the two entities, but putting them together. So if you bring a goat next to me, it means every time I'll be claiming I was going to yield this many bags of, but your goat chewed, so you need to compensate me. So it's like you're creating some problem. Unless you can contain those goats proper, then you could have goats around. But if you can't, how many neighbors are you going to be fighting over your goat? So that's the whole reason.
So in other words, even the type of animals, Roger, thank you for making that correction. I just took it. If I said animals, everybody would understand my mind. It's important even animals, the animals have also got the symbolism. I'll give you an example. Like when it comes to marriage, like I raised the marriage issue, okay? In Southern Province, they demand cattle. I married from Northern Province, from the Namwanga tribe. They just wanted a Lukasu, Chitenge material, and a few other things. That's all they needed. That's all they needed.
Wow.
So if I go to Northwestern Province, I don't know what Roger is going to say, what they need there for you to marry. So Roger, in your area, when you are, what do they want?
Before Roger comes in, you need to specify when the cows, some people don't know, you know, they will just say, oh, this is overpriced. Some people average, they might call for 6 or 10, somewhere there. But within those cows, there was 6, 7, 10. But within those same cows, people don't understand. There's some logistics within those cows. It's like when you divorce, there is some cows that need to go back. There might be 2 or 3.
How do you take back something?
No,
that
I don't know. It's like
I know.
It's like there's a certain number. When they say 10, people are just saying, "Oh, it's expensive." But if at all things did not work out later on, it means maybe 4 can go back to the family where they came from. So you're just dealing with probably 6 that are really for the marriage. The other one is like surety and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Roger, very quickly, in Northwestern Province, there are two important questions I want to ask Chola, which relate to us who are living outside Zambia or Africa for that matter. Well, how is the marriage procedure in Northwestern Province?
Well, Chola, welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. Let me put it this way. The only expensive place where when you have to marry and consider your pocket Southern Province. That's it. As far as I know. Yes. So everywhere else, you go to Luapula, Northwestern Province, I'm sure Eastern, Western, it is the same. They tell you, oh, we've looked after our daughter for so long. You need to pay, I don't know nowadays, how much it is. Chola will tell us how much Lobola people are charging. But I think I was charged 6,000 kwacha. I can't even remember if I finished paying. That is another guess for another day. Yeah. So, in a nutshell, I think a lot of us who come, especially from the Copper Belt, I know in the Copper Belt, even the Tongas, my sister is married to a Tonga. We refuse the animals. We refuse the cattle because we said we want to share the children. Because according to the belief of the Tongas, when you get those animals, the kids belong to the husband. Titus can correct me, but we said we don't want any of that stuff. The children are ours. In time of a divorce or stuff like that, there will be no need of we are keeping the children since you have eaten all the cows stuff. By the way, the eating of cows, Nathan, in the Tonga area or the Maasai is not supposed to be there. The cows are a symbol of wealth, so you don't mess with them. Anyway, go ahead.
Chola, you have your brother here who hasn't finished paying his bride price, so he needs your help and guidance. Chola, from what you heard us say here,
the complication comes when somebody dies.
I'm running out of time. There's a very important question I need to ask Chola here. Chola, you've heard everything that we have said. Even our memories are faded and everything. Some months ago, we had a discussion about preserving our cultural heritage as people living outside of Zambia, or as diaspora, as it is called, which I'm beginning to detest that word now. What things would you recommend those of us living outside of Zambia should be doing not to lose our cultural identity?
I think the main thing for me is that you continue speaking the language, because when you speak a language, you speak a culture. Whichever language you pick up parts of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that we pass on language. And if language is just you speaking to your child in the language, you don't need any extra, books or PowerPoint slides. It's just that you're able to teach your children, especially if you have intentions of them ever coming back. That they don't feel too lost when they come, but they can still communicate and still understand who they are, because there are people who have had kids outside and the children come and they speak them, but they're able to follow conversations and still feel like they're part of it. Because language can really cut you out of what's being said, and it can also be very inclusive. If you know how good it feels when you're away from the country and you walk somewhere and you hear people speaking your language, so your heart immediately warms up. So for me, it's just the language is the first point of what we should continue doing. And also, the second part is when people in the diaspora or living outside want to be part of preserving who we are, it's be actively part of raising funds to preserve, to do the documentaries. Because documentaries can show their children, we can keep them, and it's all the vision. So if they're going to do any fundraising, let's also fundraise to preserve our country.
Okay. Is it important? What is the significance of those of us living out here who have got daughters? When that time comes, we make the arrangements for whatever needs to be done to be done. What is the significance? Should it be done, or we should just move on? We live in Texas. Forget this. Let's move on.
Like I said, times have changed. And if your daughter was born there and all she knows is just American culture, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you want to have a look, it's always good to have a person that has exposure and knows, depending on who she's getting married to. If she's from there and she wants to come and introduce him to this side of her life, again, I think it only makes her a richer individual if she's able to speak at a different level. And places of origin, because she was born in America, she is American, but we can't take that away from her, but her parents are Zambian, so she might want to hold on to that. And again, if we have the audiovisual materials to be able to give her, if she can't travel back each time for an experience, I think that could also help her.
That's interesting. Some of the things that Chola does, everybody listening, is youth mentorship and That's a lot of work, Chola. What exactly is going on there? You call it katunturu, and in my private conversation with you, I was telling you that how do you come up with these names, all these deep chinsali phrases? So what are you doing with the younger generation in terms of mentorship? What does katunturu mean, first of all?
Katunturu is a game we used to play as children, but it's a journey. And if someone takes you around and tells you, okay, no, we haven't arrived, let's move on. Pardon, this is not your place. Let's keep navigating, exploring. And eventually you arrive somewhere. It's just a fun game. But it's also the color yellow in Bemba.
Mm-hmm.
And it also means, again, in Bemba, it needs to be alive. So I think for me, it had like three different meanings for me. And it started because when I moved back home, I was really trying to quickly fit in, attend all the maternity stores, attend all the kitchen parties, and it was just an overload of information that I was getting. And so I started having these events for women. And then in the process, I actually realized that people didn't even know what I was trying to deserve or were not even trying to do. But then my focus over the years moved to youth and just empowering them with information that they need to make responsible decisions, whether it's about their culture or their careers. So the youth, it now evolved into youth empowerment. And going back to gender fashion, it was very significant for me and draining because the women that I work with in Kenderi, they are survivors of GBV and they were teenage moms. So they're part of an organization that teaches them fashion and design. So I volunteer there and I go in to teach them, like, proper finishing, how to market, and had them sell their stuff at the American Embassy here. And then gender fashion, the founder there gave us an interesting group of models and these are teenagers who are HIV positive and they'll be looking for platforms to pass on their message. So we decided to combine these 30 youth to work together on a collection, and then the models worked on each of them using their pictures to still talk about living positively. It does get exhausting. The ones who are making the material, the clothes, also come from very difficult backgrounds, and the teenagers also came with that. And during the fashion show at 7 o'clock, they had to take their ARVs. And trust me, at the end of that of the show, I was finished. I was teenagers have extra energy, so I was totally finished. But it's an interesting group of people to work with at this time in Zambia.
That's interesting. Interesting. Wow, Chola, you've said a lot of things. What should we be doing to maintain a balance in our life without losing our cultural identity?
That's too good about the thing. Document, speak the language. I just be very tolerant because there's so many cultures here. I mean, we like to talk about the Zambian culture, but I don't know if it's actually one culture, actually. There are things that we've agreed upon that we do as Zambians, but we haven't been written them anyway. We just say, how could she be that? That's the one Zambian. But what is Zambian at the end of the day? We've evolved so much. We are, as the gentleman said earlier, now we're territorying before anything happens, before any children or any years have passed. I think we just have to really be more tolerant and, again, document, because, you know, as Christians, when something happens, you go to the Bible and it's very clear where you go and what solution is there for you and what you should do. But as a Zambian, when something happens, you go to your grandmother and the grandmothers are going. So we are in danger of inventing our own solutions when something happens. So even working with teenagers and they puberty. Some of them are expecting a big show or something, but some parents are going to have a quiet conversation. Should we as Zambians then agree that when children have teenagers hit puberty, this is what happens? Again, there's so many tribes to deal with. It's an interesting discussion.
Yes, it is. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, and you've actually addressed a lot of things, wide-ranging across. And Zambia on Wednesday celebrated 54 years of independence. Any message to all Zambians across the world you know, we are all over the world now.
Yes, we are. I celebrate the fact that we are that we are Zambian before we are any tribe. A lot of us are mixed tribes,
yes.
So we can't even afford to be tribalist. just to celebrate the fact that we are Zambians, and we come from a very, very rich place filled with good history and good memories and good people. And we are Zambians before we are tribe, or we are Zambians before we are in a political party. And that unity is what has kept us this stable. So it's important to be very tolerant of each other. We are very diverse, and a lot of Zambians have gone and come with different cultures. So as I said, it keeps evolving. So to be very tolerant of each other, and just remember
excellent.
That we have to unity is what keeps us safe alive. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Chola, thank you for taking the time. Mpo Shorupwa. Everybody, that was Chola Lungu Mutoni, fashion designer, business entrepreneur, and youth mentor. She joined us from Lusaka today to talk about changing issues. I hope you all enjoyed this discussion, because I did, and I trust that you will enjoy your independence. And 54 years of independence. Have a great weekend. Until next week, coming up is Open Forum with Roger. Let's enjoy this sound. I hope I pick the right one.